And our guest today during the second hour is Roger Sales, who is the author of From Sovereign to Serf, Government by the Treachery and Deception of Words. His website is serfs-up.com. And over the break, I was looking at some other things relative to the Constitution and the fact that it was actually changed before the so-called Civil War. And things were changed, amendments and things, the use of punctuation, spelling, capitalization, signs and symbols. And we got something totally different than what was originally conceived.
It was a coup.
Yes.
You know, when you really get this thing in its totality. But let's go back to our little coup d'etat was the 14th Amendment. And the jurisdiction thing we were talking about right before the break is a legal concept that comes out of that feudal era. And the concept and the term is based in the concept of protection for allegiance. They give you protection, you give them allegiance. It's kind of like this rights and duties thing, see? And, of course, in the feudal era, the serfs would be on the manor, and if they got raided or whatever, the lord would get them across the moat and pull up the gate, and they'd all fight for the manor. And then if he needed to, that they would receive his protection, and, of course, they were on his land, and they cut a deal with him where they gave him a percentage of whatever they grew and raised in a calendar year, etc. And that is exactly the system that's been imposed on us. And subject to the jurisdiction thereof, our citizens of the United States, so there's that new political status, and the state wherein they reside. And that word is so critical, and the way that it's being used is this, Deanna. The definition of the word that they're imputing here comes out of ambassadorial law, when countries would change exchange ambassadors, and sign treaties. And so let's just take Argentina for an example. If the Argentine ambassador gets caught coming into DFW up there with a kilo of cocaine in his diplomatic pouch, they don't throw him in the slam up there in Washington, D.C., do they?
They'd probably share it at a party later that night.
Probably let him in and roll out a red carpet. Good answer, DM. No, they put him on a plane in our hypothetical situation. They'd put him on a plane and send him back to Buenos Aires because he is in residency there. And what that means are the laws of Argentina apply to him and not the laws of Washington, D.C. in the United States. So consequently, how are they using that term in the 14th Amendment? They're using that term because what they did was they had a group of people that were property before the Civil War, the black people. They were the objects of someone's property right. Now, there's another important legal concept to understand, because when we use the word property, we think of it as, let's say that your car out there, Deanna, and you go, that car is my property, right? That's the way we use that word. But that's not how it's used legally. Property is a right. In the law, the car is a thing. So your right of ownership is the ownership in and to the car, not the car.
Okay.
All right. So when they say reside, they took these black people that were property, the object of someone's property right, and after the Civil War, since they changed the Civil War halfway through to the slave issue to set up this 14th Amendment thing, then they had to give them this new political status called a citizen of the United States. And in doing so, many of the southern states especially didn't recognize that political status. And so the newly citizens of the United States, the secondary citizenship brought in, because you can't believe the white men that ran the country gave these poor illiterate blacks the same status they did. That's a fairy tale. Okay?
Right. All righty.
So
we do have a break. Okay, we'll be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
You know that maintaining your health is getting harder than ever. GMO, chemtrails, designer viruses, toxins, and mysterious syndromes make it very difficult to protect yourself and loved ones. So what can you do? How can you fight back and own your health? What if powerful technology existed designed to help you optimize your physical and mental well-being, correct chronic issues, and extend your quality of life? Skeptical? Sure. We were too, but results don't lie. Your body's an energy system, and the future of medicine will use non-toxic bioenergy to rejuvenate your cells with the perfect living energy they're made from. How do we know? Because that future began nearly 100 years ago and lives on today because of powerful results. T8 is a breakthrough technology that's transforming the science of bioenergetic rejuvenation. To learn why over 800 holistic practitioners and people just like you bought T8s over the past 3 years, visit antiaging8.com. That's antiaging, the numeral 8, .com, or call 979-227-2277. 979-227-2277.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Roger Sales, who is the author of From Sovereign to Serf, Government by the Treachery and Deception of Words. His website is serfs-up.com. And right before we went to the break, we were talking about the so-called Civil War, which freed the slaves and reduced everyone to the same status. And that status is as a debt slave. And they have then imposed Rothschild's European plan on everyone in America. That's my...
Let me touch on a couple of the fine points. They didn't bring it in for everyone originally. This happened in stages, all right? And it wasn't for everyone because in the benchmark landmark case, the first important case on this 14th Amendment called the Slaughterhouse Cases, they very clearly say that there's two separate citizenships in the country then and refer to it a number of times in that case. So the important sites are contained in the book, of course. But back to the conceptual thing of resident that I was trying to set up there, when the black people in the states were not recognized as the new citizen with these new civil rights after the Civil War, then they had to get protection from the federal government to protect these new federal rights. And there's your definition of jurisdiction. They asked for protection, therefore they gave their allegiance. There's detachment, and that's how you've been switched. Now, originally, after the Civil War, the deciding concept, if you will, or case, was a case called Plessy versus Ferguson that you may have heard referred to if you've done any civil rights stuff. And that was the case that came with the decision that said separate but equal. And that set up black and white bathrooms, black and white water fountains, and you know, really, it's kind of a despicable part of our history, but it's the history. It's what happened here, okay?
Right.
And so you had that all the way up until that case that we referred to earlier, U.S. versus Wong Kim Ark. Well, obviously, Wong Kim Ark is not a black man. He's a Chinaman. Mm-hmm. And that came out of the backlash against all the Chinese immigrants. We don't have time to go into the whole setup of the case. It's an extremely interesting case. If you're interested in these issues, like I said, it is the single highest point case in the entire history of the Supreme Court on these issues. But what they did with the Wong Kim Ark case was they laid the groundwork for everybody. The trap was laid with the 14th Amendment. The trap was set with Wong Kim Ark, and it was sprung during the Depression of the 30s. So what this tells you when you understand this is these guys are working at least on an 80-year-plus timetable.
Okay? Right.
Now, they're working on an 80-year-plus timetable with all this treachery and deceit that we haven't even really delved into very much here so far today. And you don't even understand the meanings of the words that are being used. Deanna, who the hell you think is going to win that battle?
Well, of course they are. It was designed that they would win.
And so, you know, this is the first time this information has been widely disseminated in the public domain. My teachers had all of the tax side of the knowledge, and that's what I had studied and knew inside out for many years, 15 or more years. And when I saw that passport application and I saw that word U.S. national with that differentiation in the oath, now I knew what they called us. You see, I always knew that there was two different statuses, but they change it in the code and in the regulations. You know, they'll call it a resident somewhere here. They'll call it a citizen of the United States here. Over in Title 42, Section 1981, it says the citizen of the United States is entitled to all the privileges and immunities of the white citizens. It calls them white citizens right there in Title 42 of the code. Now, that's Congress being racial, not me. Okay, so they change it around, but I knew that State Department was in charge of all of those matters from a letter I'd gotten from the state of Florida Attorney General years earlier asking him for a letter or documentation that I was a Florida state citizen, because we're still going on the state citizen idea that's in the old Supreme Court cases that was the representative term that identified this status back then. But all they've done is change the words. The concept is still there. They just changed the label.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do over and over and over and over again. What's free trade? Free trade's mercantilism.
Right.
It's the same old pig with a different color lipstick and a different little skirt, and they just trot it right out.
Mm-hmm.
What are Zionists? This is a favorite topic of yours. I'm going to prove to you, the Zionists are nothing but the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with Phariseeism. You're dealing with the same monetary system and the same legal system that the tribes of Judah and Benjamin brought back from Babylonian captivity and instilled back into Jerusalem. It wasn't until 500 years after they were released that the Babylonian Talmud was written. These are the principles that are infused in that Talmud. This is the root of their power, is making people property through these little mechanisms contained in the merchant law.
Mm-hmm.
This is the big secret here, okay?
Right. And yet we're all under this law because of...
You're all under it right now. Now, for people that have a hard time differentiating this, let me try and simplify it for you. If you want to understand what's being done here, key in on the administrative agencies, because the administrative agencies are their enforcement and control arm, and they didn't start coming in until the 30s. When this system was being imposed.
Right. Okay. And then they totally put them in 1947 with another coup.
Yeah, they've been pretty active all along. If you go back to those two sets of law books we touched on earlier, Deanna, you've got the United States Code over on one side with all of the accompanying regulations. And what happens, the way we make laws is this. A bill's either introduced either in the Senate or the House. It passes both bodies. If it's not the same and compatible, they go into a committee and try and hammer out something that's acceptable to both bodies. Then when they do that and have agreed there, they send it over to whoever the puppet up there in the White House, and he signs it. And at that point, it's law. Okay? And at that point, it goes over into the statutes at large as a public law. They also take it and give it then over to the administrative agencies, and they promulgate regulations so that they can impose public policy.
Right. And Congress does not even write those laws.
They're written by bureaucrats.
Right.
And that's why it's public policy, is because the Congress is right. They did write the law, but then it got changed over in, and the administrative agencies interpret the law and change it into public policy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to this Code of Federal Regulations, an administrative agency or a regulatory agency, by their very name and nature, administrator regulate. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the question is not that. The question is, who do they regulate? Can they go over to China and pick up some coolie out of the field and start bapping him with EPA regulations?
Nope.
They got to have somebody specific that they can regulate and enforce that stuff and write all that garbage for, don't they?
Sure.
Now, if you go to all of the Code of Federal Regulations but one, we'll come back and touch on that in a second. All the other 49 codes have their jurisdictional statement right on the first page, and it says residence.
Okay.
Residence.
Okay.
And that one that's different is Title 26, and that's the Internal Revenue Code. And the Internal Revenue Code says in Section 1.1-1A, I don't like to throw that stuff out there and get people confused, but that's where it's at, 1.1-1A. And it says an income tax is imposed on all individuals who are citizens of the United States and residents, and to the extent of 877B and 871B, all non-resident alien individuals. Now, what are they saying?
What are they saying?
What they're saying is they've taken that U.S. national term and they've hidden it so you can't recognize it for everybody that was saying it, because if it said an income tax is imposed on all individuals who are citizens of the United States and residents except for 871B and 877B upon all U.S. nationals, and you're going, well, there's only two sections of this shoot and match that apply to these national guys. I want to know who they are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they couldn't do that. They had to couch it in their little treachery and deceit in the term non-resident alien. Now, we've discussed the term resident a little bit already, haven't we?
Right.
So let's take a step further and analyze it, see if you agree with this term. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant.
That's true.
Okay, well, you're either a resident or you're a non-resident. If you're
okay.
not a resident and being locked into the jurisdiction, then you're a non-resident, aren't you?
Right.
And if you've got a separate status, then that other status is alien to the 14th Amendment political status, isn't it?
Right.
So you're a non-resident alien in the tax code. Now, you think I'm pulling that out of left field? I'm going to tell you to go back to the very first case that was decided after the 16th Amendment. It's a very famous case called Brishaber versus Union Pacific Railroad. And the issue came up and was brought up in his trial that he was a non-resident alien. It was not decided on. But in every important tax case, the Treasury Department writes a thing called a Treasury decision. And I went to the Emory Law Library, Depository Law Library, right there in Atlanta, Georgia, and I went and looked at this with my own eyes. I went back to the set of books that's got Treasury decisions in it, and it's 2314, I believe. And it says, Frank Brishaber, a citizen of the state of New York and a non-resident alien.
Okay,
and
so you have to be a citizen of the state that you reside in order to...
You don't want to reside.
Okay.
If you reside, you're a federal citizen because you're asking for the federal government's protection.
Okay, so he's domiciled?
Correct.
Okay.
Or dwells, or however you want to use it, but you got to be very conscious of these legal landmine words. So that is how they've hit it there. Now, conversely, on the passport application we looked at, it says, I certify under penalty of perjury that I'm a citizen of the United States, parentheses, or a non-resident alien. Well, they couldn't use it over there because anybody's going to be looking at a passport application and says, well, what's a non-resident alien doing applying for a passport?
Exactly. All right. We do have to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Would you like to reclaim lost health? Are supplements only getting you so far? Hey, folks, my name is Franklin. I had a heart attack in 2006 that left me with a damaged valve, working at only 20% capacity and odds against being here now. Then I found RNA Drops, a patented completement formula that creates perfect cells in your body. My perfect cells helped me to regain heart function and more. What could your body do with perfect cells? For a limited time, you can find out for free. Go to franklinsrnadrops.com and get a free mini bottle, valued at $50 on its way. Just pay shipping and handling. While you're there, you can view our growing line of products and hear amazing stories of what these products have done for others. My story is there as well. That's franklinsrnadrops.com. Start reclaiming your health today by giving your body what it needs. I cannot wait to hear what your perfect cells are doing for you. Thank you.
Answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Deanna, and our guest today is Roger Sales. He is the author of From Sovereign to Serf, Government by the Treachery and Deception of Words. His website is serfs-up.com, and that's spelled S-E-R-F-S. And we've got callers lining up, but go ahead and...
I'll just put one little confirming bit of interesting information here, and if you want to take some calls, I'd be glad to. We'll digress a bit, and both in our lives and in the material, and go back to the nursery rhymes, and that would be Alice in Wonderland. And this quote's in the book. It came out of the first page of a legal research book when I studied to be a paralegal and went through that curriculum, and it's published by Nolo Press out there in Berkeley. And this was a whole first page in that book, Deanna, and it says, "When I use a word," Humpty Dumpty said in a very scornful tone, "it means just what I choose it to mean, no more, no less. The question is," said Alice, "whether you can make words mean so many different things." "The question is," said Humpty Dumpty, "which is to be master. That's all."
Yes. How true. Well, let me ask a question first from the chat room.
Okay.
Can you please ask your guest about our rights to water? I think it is in the 10th Amendment. Do we have any rights to what goes into our homes, such as smart meters, water? When can we say no if we don't want something?
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, then let's see if we can address this way. We talked about your property being your car and it technically being a thing, right? Mm-hmm. So if you've got property rights in and to the thing, your car, you can pretty well do whatever that car you want with, except, you know, go harm somebody else, can't you? You can let it run out of oil. You can go drive it over a cliff. You can do anything you want with that thing in the eyes of the law because you have the property rights in it, correct?
Right.
All of those federal agencies only regulate residents. And if you're a resident under the feudal system, you are their physical property, and they can do or say whatever they want to do to you. You do not have access to the 10th Amendment and God-given constitutionally protected rights. You are a federal serf citizen.
Okay. So we do not want to be citizens.
Or residents.
Or residents.
Those are both synonymous. Those are both terms right there in that 14th Amendment. And that term resident is the most trickiest of all of them because you never impute a legal definition into that word. And that's exactly how it's being used. In the law library, Deanna, there's a group of books called Words and Phrases. And what that group of books does is it takes important words and phrases in all these different cases, and it compiles them in the word or phrase. And if you go into the words and phrases and look under resident, there's an entry in there from some case, I don't remember which one, and it says, the term resident used in any legal context is always political. Doesn't say sometimes, it doesn't say part of the time. It says always political.
Okay. All right.
So, did you have some callers?
Yes. Let's take Werner in Canada. Werner, welcome to the program.
Werner, I'm so happy to talk to you.
Oh, I don't know if it's worthwhile.
I've heard you call in on a bunch of shows, and I always really, really admire what you have to add. So nice to meet you, and thanks for all your good
work. But it's so sad that you have to leave your homeland and go somewhere else.
You know what?
I think it's so sad that you had to leave your homeland and go to another country.
Yes, but, you know, it's been a great experience for me, this move, and I really like it down here.
Yeah, but as I say, I wish sometimes that a lot of people here from North America, under peaceful circumstances, that they would have lived for a while in some other countries around the globe. Because what I've seen here, local people, once they had been abroad, it basically opens up their mind.
It's been a really neat experience. I had never lived anywhere in the world, and that was part of my motivation, too. It wasn't all political, just a large part of it.
Yeah, adventure.
Yeah, that's part of that.
You know, I wanted to make one point. When the early settlers came over here, they were escaping from all the oppression, especially in Europe, you know, from the feudal system and everything. But the way it is always, you know, when the host moves, the parasites follow.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's very true, Werner. Well, you know, I'm happy to tell you that the Sales family was on the Mayflower, and my family was integral in starting this country, and that didn't mean too much to me when I found it out when I was younger, but these days that means an awful lot to me because I really got a dog in this fight, okay?
Uh-huh. And then gradually, what I call the parasites, they sneaked in underneath the wire, all the very same restriction in what the way they have been basically enslaving the people over there in Europe.
Yes, and they've been doing it with this mechanism of the merchant law. And if Deanne will have me back sometime when we've got enough basis laid where everybody can follow it, I'll go back and trace the whole thing for you and tell you where. I think I've found the absolute root of their power base, Werner.
Yeah, but as I say, you made a good point when you mentioned about the Babylonian Talmud and the comparison to the Pharisees at the time when the Lord was walking the earth.
You know. Well, I will, probably not today, maybe so if I can drag it up quick enough, I'll read something on the air from a book called Historical Jurisprudence about Babylonian Law, and it'll just make your jaw drop, the similarities you're living in today.
All righty, gentlemen, we've got a break. We will be back in 3 minutes. Stay over, Werner, if you'd like.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot turtle tufts to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your Turtle Tough Shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. We have Roger Sales, the author of From Sovereign to Serf, Government by the Treachery and Deception of Words, on the program today. His website is serfs-up.com, and we have Werner in Canada on a call.
Hey, Werner, would you like, let me read you this little bit about Babylonian law here. This is from a book from John Hopkins University written in 1921 called Historical Jurisprudence. And I'm just going to read a small section to you here. And this is subsection A under Master and Servant. A man might well make a contract with another man whom he hired for a year or whom he contracted to serve for a year. Example, in connection with this contract, it should be noted that Uberu was regarded as a free agent hiring himself out. But since he enters into a relationship with his master, in which he is temporarily in the condition of a slave, he is representative or guardian. In the case of a slave, the name of the slave's father is never given. The slave is not regarded or spoken of as a man, but as a thing, and is reckoned in the same way as cattle. The actual point of this contract is the transfer of the right to a man's services. Such a transaction is but a part of the whole Babylonian system, whereby every credit or right was passed from one to another by means of contracts. The law was very strict as to the beginning and termination of these contracts. If the servant did not appear, he could be arrested and brought into his master, and he was his master's man. This species of slavery was of great importance and very customary in old Babylon.
Interesting. Cattle.
See, it's all in there when you start piecing this together, Deanna and Werner and whoever else is interested. You're going to find some of the big answers right here. I can take the examples out of this Babylonian law, trace them up to the Pharisees, show you where they changed laws, Rome's laws from the jus civile, which is the law of the citizens, to the jus gentium, which is the law of the foreigners, which later morphed into Roman civil law, which then morphed into the feudal era, which then went to England, and now is in the U.S. And you can trace it 2,000 years back through the remedy. You don't look at the rights and the duties, you look at the remedy, because there's a unique remedy there that has been available all those years, which is called self-help. And self-help remedies are the remedies that can be exercised without having to go to a formal court and get a judgment. In other words, if you don't pay the IRS, they come and grab your stuff, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And what are self-help remedies? Lien, levy, garnishment, seizure.
Right.
Same deal. There. What does the Bible say, Deanna? There's nothing new under the sun?
It always gets recycled.
Yep. They just changed the words. They changed the words. It's not the Babylonian merchant law that morphed into the law merchant. It's now called the Uniform Commercial Code.
Well, the same way the last few hundred years, you know, from Illuminati to Bilderberger and all the in the different faces and disguises, it's always the same click.
It's always the same click, and it's always the same techniques. Now, why is this really all that important? It's not just that you assume these God-given rights again, but when they've made you legal property, I believe, and I think it's, you're never going to find the law here because they got this buried real deep. But as property with a birth certificate, you're pledged as collateral for the bonds which back the world's reserve currency. That's why your income tax goes straight off the top to the bond holders, because the bond holders hold the bond which is secured by the collateral. You know, the root word of bond is bondage.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the people tried to get away from when they came, when they left Europe a few hundred years ago.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And they are busy, as I say, the justice system is basically run by lawyers. They make an oath to a foreign entity located in London.
Right.
Now, where are their loyalties? Are they with of the country, or are they their loyalties with a former slave master?
Well, I'm going to tell you that they make their jurisdictional statement in the first paragraph of any lawsuit you ever care to read, and it's going to say Deanna Bengola, a resident of boom jurisdiction, bam, right like that,
huh.
And you didn't even know what they said.
Right.
All righty. Justice for the people, by the people. And that has basically been thrown overboard because people have become too complacent.
Sure, and ignorant.
Don't knock it, we never might get it as good again. This is what I heard about 35, 30 years ago from people.
Right.
Well, you know what I've been so fortunate with God's help to find is the trap door where you can volunteer out. Now, I don't tell people to do that, okay? I tell you that there's a choice available, and if you want to educate yourself, you can learn about it. And if you feel motivated, if you're going to go asking for God-given rights, you better go get down on your knees and pray to Him and ask if that's what He wants you to do and if that burns the fire of liberty in your heart. Okay? And the first thing I tell people, they say, what should I do first? You make this information yours. You learn it backwards and forwards, because if you do decide to take that step and do this, you're the one that's going to have to defend it.
All right.
And believe me, you're going to have to defend it.
Well, as I say, it's better than going to university. Listen to RBN, to Deanna's program, and so on, and to you, Roger, you know. They're great guests on, and it is quite an education. I wish I would have taken it already decades ago.
Well, I told Deanna when she asked me to be on, I told her I was a reforming Alex Jones listener.
Oh. Well, if you were still listening to him, you wouldn't be on. All righty, Werner, we do have a bunch more callers lined up, so we're going to touch
you
loose here. Thank you so
Werner.
Much.
Thanks, Werner. Nice to meet you, man. I really admire what you do.
No. I'm just bumming through here.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. See you, man.
All right, let's take Richard in Washington. Richard, welcome to the program.
Yeah, great program, very succinct presentation, and you may have covered it. I missed a little of the first. How do you think the Emergency Banking Act and the enemies of the United States revised in 1933 affected this whole kind of presentation? And have you ever run across the 40 outrageous facts that nobody knows?
I think I've seen that, and some of those are accurate, and some of them I had some problems with. If you go back to Roosevelt's declaration when he basically the country was bankrupt, he says that they put in the Trading with the Enemies Act, and who's it for? Citizens of the United States. There's a great quote in my book, Richard, that's straight from William T. McFadden on the House floor of the House of Representatives, not during special orders like they do now, and he lays out the whole story there in several separate quotes that are included in the book, and there's no doubt what went on.
Well, that's my understanding, too. And then since they bankrupt the corporation, I believe they put it in receivership. That was the way they wiggled out of the Federal Reserve System into the IMF. And I just wondered if you had any comments on that.
Well, the Secretary of the Treasury and the Attorney General are both employees of the fund. And if the Secretary of the Treasury is paid by the fund, he ain't looking out for your best interests, I promise you. You can get into this real in depth, and what I've come to conclude, see, I'm still learning and understanding this after 20 years and being as immersed in it as I am. But what I think is happening here is in the feudal system, if your parents were in a position of servitude and they were voluntary serfs and you were born into a position of voluntary servitude. But because you had that voluntary servitude in your background, you could volunteer out even though you were born into that condition. I think they passed the birth certificate thing back in the early 20s to set this thing up for the 30s 10 years later when they knew they were going to pull the string and they'd already have collateral there that would spawn future generations of little serfs. And that's why I believe that they say the law runs under presumption. They're presuming that you're a serf and they continue to ask you those questions to continue to tie you down.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, too, but I'm thinking the 1933 Act actually changes from humans into, as you pointed out earlier, animals, so they don't even have that consideration. They assume that we're domesticated animals, and they treat us as such.
Well, you know, that's Al Adask's findings and personal experience, and, you know, Al found another way out, but I didn't have to go to court and get $9 million a year potentially put on me to do mine. And the nice thing about this approach is that once you get the head office of the federal government to agree with you, then you go down and unzip the administrative agencies. Because administrative agencies are courts of record, too, okay? And you don't have to go to court. If you just do this and try and do it on a case-by-case basis, and there's people that have been successful doing that, but every time you get a traffic ticket or you got to go in there, you got to reassess it. If you go to the State Department and get their approval, you just show them your documentation and your passport. Hey, your boss said that's what I am. What are you doing questioning them?
Well, that's it. I look forward to reading your book. It's always been on my list. I just haven't got around to it. I open it up to other callers.
Okay, all right. Well, let me add this then for Richard, because we've been able to drop the price. You know, I'm new at this, and we're fumbling our way through this thing. The price of the ebook is now $14.99. The printed version's $24.99. But we've got a Christmas special in, and if you'll buy 10 or more of either the tax book that my teachers have written or this book, we'll give them to you for $14.99. But you have to call somebody to get that done. And you need to go to thebookshelf.us, thebookshelf.us, and call that number and tell them you want the Christmas special.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
You'll get freedom this Christmas, Deanna.
All righty. We have another Richard. He is in, where is he in? He's in Alabama. Yes, he's in Alabama. Welcome to the program, Richard.
Yeah. I got this book called Law Among Nations.
Yes, by
it refers to the Convention on Questions Relating to Conflict of Nationality Laws, 1930, Article 6, says, a person possessing unwanted nationality acquired involuntarily was entitled to renounce nationality, but only with the permission of the state whose nationality he desired to surrender.
Well,
how does that conflict with your book?
Well, it doesn't conflict with my book, really. If you go back to the principle, if they tell you what you are, it's tyranny. If they ask you what you are and you tell them, well, heck, you ought to know what you are. What you do in this process is you learn this material. And, you know, I don't sell you. I'm not trying to sell you a bunch of stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. I tell people, you write your own documentation or affidavit. Now, we'll certainly help you and give you any answer any questions that you have, but this is your political status that you're going to declare. I'm not telling you what it is or what to do. I don't know your background. Were both your parents American-born?
Yeah.
Well, that's the one key thing is your hereditament. Both of your parents had to be natural-born Americans. See, this is the thing Obama's been fighting on this birth certificate thing, is this hereditament issue. Okay? And if that's the case, and you feel like moving forward and you want to draw out your sword and be a warrior, then you can do this. But you write that out because I know if you've written it out, you're at least somewhat familiar with the concepts. And then you simply submit it to the State Department for a passport application and let them make the decision. They can't say no.
I've already filled out a passport application that says where I answered no to that question about U.S. citizenship, and I got my passport, and it looks identical to the others.
Well, yes, they're not going to let the sheep have something different where you can go run around like, look what I got, I'm different. But you look in there in the language, it says citizen/national. It's for both. Where they have the determination is in their database.
Mm-hmm. So the possession of that passport doesn't prove anything, really.
Well, did you submit documentation with your application, or did you just send one in and say no?
I just sent in the application.
You got to. It says right there at the top that if you want to attach documents, you got to make some kind of a declaration. In other words, you know, they'll let a lot of people expatriate. That seems to be a big deal now. But if you want to expatriate, you're still a serf, and you got to go get another passport from another country, go through all their bureaucratic hoops, and then trade passports. But they don't throw you in jail or stop you.
Mm.
You know, the reason they don't is because that's your decision. That's not their decision. And if you want to conversely change from that slave political status over to the free men political status that your hereditament bears and entitles you to, that's your decision.
Yeah. I heard they've changed the law on tax deficiencies so they can, I can't remember how many years after you go to Argentina or something.
Well, they tried to put a threshold in there for limits, and I think the one that I saw discussed was if you had more than $50,000 in back taxes. Now, when they're going to do that, they got to write a regulation and send that regulation through the promulgation process, and I don't know whether that regulation has been promulgated yet or not, honestly, to where it's active on the serfs. And somebody's going to have to research that. You know, I cleared up my IRS problem a long time ago. I've been out of their system for many years, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't know to do this State Department thing first because you know, a lot of people had problems with it. The IRS is their teeth, you know, and they're not going to let you out of the pen very easily without taking a big bite out of your backside on the way out.
But still, that thing about only with the permission of the state.
Well, then they're going to send you the passport when you send in your declaration. That's their permission, in essence, isn't it?
I don't know.
Well, if they're sending you the document and you've made a declaration and they agree with it, that's called tacit agreement.
But still, international law overrides
Vattel in the Law of Nations says every man's got the right of personal self-determination.
Well, I'm afraid the international law is made by military victories.
No. This is Vattel, the Law of Nations, not prize.
Mm.
Okay? Not prize. Prize is, you know, like admiralty law. The remedy, this is why we're not under admiralty law, if any of you are out there in that misconception. The only remedy in admiralty law is prize. In maritime law, the remedy is a bill of libel. You see very much prize going around or bills of libel? No, you see lien, levy, garnishment, and seizure. Where are those remedies available? They're only available in two systems of law, the law merchant and the manorial law from the feudal era. Those are the only two bodies of law that those remedies are available in, period.
All right. Thank you for that clarification. Gentlemen, we are going to a break, and so we will be back in 3 minutes.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
$4, $5, $6, even $7 a gallon? According to fuel industry insiders and economic experts, those are the forecasted fuel prices, with no end in sight. Fight back fuel prices with a fuel saver from airfusionsystems.com. These fuel savers can save you from 20 to 40%. They're designed to fit any vehicle, from compacts to SUVs to transport trucks. The fuel saver works on all gas, diesel, even propane engines. Easy do-it-yourself installation in about 15 minutes. And the best part? No engine modifications, no computer chipping, no running wires, no chemicals, no water, no running costs, and no maintenance. And these fuel savers come complete with all parts and accessories. See how it works at airfusionsystems.com, spelled A-I-R-F-U-S-I-O-N, systems.com. Or call 888-887-9981, 888-887-9981. Fuel savers from airfusionsystems.com. Save fuel, save money, save earth.
Are you concerned about fluoride, chlorine, parasites, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Dalton ceramic water filters have been made continuously since 1827 and are used by disaster relief organizations and in third world countries to supply safe drinking water. Not only do we offer gravity filter systems, but also under the sink and countertop systems. Our replacement filters can be used to upgrade your existing system. And unlike some other filters on the market, Dalton filters do not have to be primed. For more information, call us at 800-696-1435, 800-696-1435, or order online at Dalton.com. That's Doulton.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today has been Roger Sales. He is the author of From Sovereign to Serf, Government by the Treachery and Deception of Words, and there is a good deal for that book at thebookshelf.us. His website is serfs-up.com, and of course that site is linked on today's schedule page. We have two more callers. Let's try and take them. Jeff in Vermont.
Is not named Richard?
No, Richard dropped.
Okay, I thought we were going to have a third one.
No. Yeah. No, Richard's only. They only come in Paris. Okay, Jeff in Vermont.
Yeah, I just got a comment. I live in Vermont and was part of this Patriot movement, and I've heard every single argument that he's been purporting. I knew a guy named Ed Brown. I'm sure you guys heard of him. Me and my father went down to his house. We supported him. I think it was in 07. He's in jail. I've been to court on all the arguments that he said, between Christian Mavaman, WH, the IRS, everything. Everything has failed. I'd just be very weary.
Did you ever declare your correct status in a legal form, Jeffrey?
No, but I've had people in the Patriot movement do that. There's a guy up here. He's a real good guy. He owns a couple thousand acres. He's got this huge library, this old farmhouse. And we as a group, we go and study law. We've done this for years. I don't do it that much anymore because it's kind of a dead end. But yeah, I've had people do the same thing. The thing is that you have to realize that when you go into court, all the judge will say is take it up on appeal.
You don't have to go to court with this, Richard. You do it administratively. Administratively, agencies are a court of record also.
They'll put a warrant out.
You let them know in your jacket and in your information that they don't have any jurisdiction over you. You won't be in a court because the court won't have any jurisdiction over you either.
Yeah, then they put a warrant out for your arrest, and you go to jail. You lose your driver's license.
When you got this information and a passport, you can go right down and get a non-resident driver's license. It's in every state driver's license code in the country, non-resident state-issued driver's license. But it says you have to have the hereditament, you have to be a national, and you have to prove that your parents were nationals. And that's what it says in the Oklahoma state traffic laws and the Texas state traffic laws and all the other ones because they're uniform.
All right, I'm just saying this. I've had a lot of friends go to jail using these methods, and you can do whatever you want. And I've heard these arguments before. You might be right. You might be absolutely 100% right, but these arguments do not work in court. That's all I'm going to say. People can try it. People can do whatever they want. From my experience using it, it does not work.
If you went to court and they had a resident jurisdiction over you, they ain't going to work.
Well, okay. There's no. Okay, all right. I'm just warning people. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Okay, Joel in Wisconsin, real quick. We've only got a few seconds left. Joel, quick.
Okay, if somebody buys your book, reads it, and understands it, would they have the same amount of ammunition that you just basically said everything today?
Yep.
Okay.
You're not going to get it reading it one time. I've got a guy that's extremely well-schooled. He's probably listened to this program. His name's Jim Prentice. He's a retired cop, and he was a Dan Mietter research team leader for a number of years. And he said, Roger, your book's a masterpiece. I've read it 10 times in the first 2 weeks, and every time I read it, I got something different out of it. There's a lot of info in there.
All righty, gentlemen, we've run out of time. Thank you for your phone call. Roger, thank you for being on the program today. We'll do this again. And listeners, we'll talk tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thanks, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Roger.